Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Today, we're covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 98, from December 11th of 1993. We're almost to Christmas, only a few more weeks to go, and we're steamrolling right along after we, did the Thanksgiving Thunder last week. We are live, coming at you from Ash Central High School in Jefferson, North Carolina. I'm sure this is a new location, so first off, Harper, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, sir.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah. Glad to hear that. Doc, how are you doing?
Hold on, I was just getting a little stinky pinky.
See?
What?
See? He's over there, Harper, rushing me to get started, and the motherfucker ain't ready.
I'm absolutely ready. We're going to Jefferson, North Carolina.
How you doing, Doc? How you doing? If I don't ask you how you doing, you act like a broad and you fucking bitch and shit. So how you doing?
Do you have all your mini controls and softwares and everything up and ready? I'm more worried about you.
All right, Harper, let's get this show rolling. So we jump into the show since Doc wants to have a little fart around. He wants to be abroad. And Dutch and Bob Cottle are out there. Doc, you going to give us the demographics or what?
I was ready. You're the one acting like a complete and total asshole.
Eating a Pop-Tart. That's why he's stalling, y'all. If you hear him, he's chewing. You see what he's doing? He's chewing.
What are you talking about?
Go ahead, Mr. Pop-Tart boy.
Remember Jefferson, North Carolina, population of 1,611.
Wow.
Pretty small town there, huh? Northwestern.
Big metropolis.
Yeah, we're out in northwestern North Carolina, and apparently you got to fly in your women and your seafood and your black people. We're 95.43% white.
What's so different about this place than any other place?
Nothing.
95% white?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of white folks, right, Harper?
Yeah. Fuck.
1.4% African Americans.
Jesus Christ.
Not a lot.
Oh, man. I'd go in a culture shop if I went to this place. Good Lord.
You'd be like, where's all the Badussi and grape drink and bones and thugs? And then I'll be looking at you like you landed from another planet.
Okay. All right,
and
so
then,
Doc.
Well, no, I'm not done here. That does mean we are looking at about 22.7 black people.
22. Just enough for two basketball teams.
Is in a front row that you might notice.
Oh, when I hit the play in a second?
No, they're in Tracy Smothers.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to look out. We'll have to.
Now, I'm not sure about how these next numbers work, but the median household income is $22,847.
There you go.
$22,847.
That's today.
Jesus Christ.
But somehow only 15% of the population is below the poverty line.
I don't get that.
Sounds like a whole bunch more than that to me.
That's just crazy, man.
That must be Smoky Mountainomics, because I don't quite understand it either. But I really don't care enough to care.
Yeah, really.
To be honest with you, I'm here to talk wrestling.
I just want to give these people some hope, because by the looks of things, they need it.
Let me tell you, growing up poor, you definitely need hope, bro.
But here's the thing. I was looking at something the other day. We were all poor. I mean,
Harper lived in Metairie, so I don't know how poor he was, but he can tell me, dude.
I ain't poor.
Metairie, let me tell you how us NOLA folks looked at the white people in Metairie. We were like, that's the rich motherfuckers that think they're shit.
That's
on.
Right.
Okay, so Mike and I grew
we
up
know
poor.
Who our daddies are and shit.
That's nice, Harper.
Do you know how hard it is to be poor these days? Shit's expensive, man.
Dude, I didn't know.
I mean, we were just trying to get the basics, you know, when we were kids, you know. But now, if you want to be somebody in this world, you got to have a cell phone and shit like
Wi-Fi.
That.
Wi-Fi. Yeah.
You got expenses we never even dreamed of when we were trying to be poor, man. Forget it. Man, I told you not too long ago. I ain't being poor again. I do the Von Erich thing. It ain't happening. I've been both, and I'm rich. And let me tell you something. One of these situations is better than the other, and I ain't going back.
Dude, I'm not going back. I cannot. That wouldn't. They'd have to commit me, bro, because I would go crazy, and I would lose my mind. I do not want to live like that again. No, dude, it's not fun. Bro, living in a house without air conditioning in the summer in New Orleans, are you fucking shitting me?
Fuck
no,
that,
I do
dude.
Not want to go back to that.
Fuck, that's fucking miserable.
I'm telling you, man. No, I will pass. No, thank you. I mean, we got a window unit. I don't know. I must have been about 9 or 10 or something, but shit.
Jesus
that thing...
Christ.
What I'm the surprised fuck? I'm surprised you didn't dive like SIDS in the crib. With the swamp ass shit.
Jesus I don't remember. I really don't remember when we got the window unit, but we got one at one point. But anyway, we're here to talk Smoky Mountain Wrestling, so let's get into it. So at the very beginning of the telecast, we got Dutch and Bob Cottle, and Dutch is smoking a cigarette, as you all can see my screen. Harper, he's puffing away at the start of the show.
What the hell's up with that?
This is the second or third time he's done that, Doc. What is it?
Yeah.
Look at him, dude.
I told you the last time he did it, that's the shit you could not do. You could run out the stormtrooper before you could smoke a cigarette on Raw.
Yeah.
What if that's not a cigarette?
Nah, they're in a school, dude. They could
dude,
be
he
that.
Just put it on the desk. Look at it. He just sat it down on a desk and it's smoking behind him. It's not even in an ashtray. It's just the ashes, the hot part sitting off the edge of the desk.
It's just a cigarette, dude. Calm down.
I'd love it.
It's like he's shooting pool, like at some shitty pool hall. He just puts a cigarette kind of like hanging off the pool table.
Yes. All right. So, Bob no sells it as he's puffing away, but the new Beat the Champ TV title match will be Del Rey versus Smothers since Horner got hurt. You know, Tim Horner was hurt, you know, at Thanksgiving Thunder, and he was a champ. But since he was injured, they are going to crown a new champion. So there you have it, Del Rey versus Smothers for the Beat the Champ TV title. Any thoughts, anything else from the opening, Harper?
No.
Right. Doc, you?
Dude, we're going to hear from Murdoch.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Larry Santo and the Nature Boy, Paul Lee, L-E-E. Paul Lee returns. We haven't seen him in a while. Remember him, Harper?
Yeah.
Well,
I was
going to
say,
back.
It's probably been, at least 9 months, maybe more.
It's been a while. I don't remember the last time. It's been a while since he's been on Smoky Mountain TV, though. But he is back, and he is teaming with Larry Santo, who we've seen him more recently. And they lose to the Rock and Roll Express pretty damn quickly. Doc, do you have any thoughts from that match?
Yeah, I thought I'd just call that line, call Pam Lawson and say, hey, can I get that one hillbilly moondog to come out?
Okay. Anything else?
What?
I thought you were going to be something serious, but you
well,
won't
I thought the Rock and Roll looked really good here. They were crisp.
Yeah. It's been a while. It seems like they kind of been moved to the background now.
Well, Cornette has said on going on record that he said he had to give them and kind of the Heavenly Bodies a break from each other because they were so tied together for so long.
Yeah.
And you don't have anywhere to send them, so you just got to, like, move them up and down because you can't send them to, like, Dallas or LaSalle.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could send them to Memphis still at this point, but
they probably were.
Well, the thing is, it's like, what? I mean, I don't know what else you really do with them. I think Smoky Mountain gets hurt by the fact that they do stick around for so long, though. I do. I really believe that. Because you never get a break from them. I mean, the beauty of territory wrestling was you got a break from certain people. But all right, we'll keep going. Because after the Rock and Roll win, Jim Cornette, followed by Dick Murdoch, followed by the Bullet, is coming up. So I'm going to play this in segments. Here's Cornette first.
Man's women right now here is none other than Jim Cornette, and this man has got a lot on the line at Christmas Chaos in Knoxville.
That's exactly right, and not only Knoxville, but all over the Christmas Chaos tour, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be the Bullet, who everybody knows is Bob Armstrong, and he is going to be putting his mask up against Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch. And you know, you saw last week, if you watched television, how I said I would put up anything. anything that I had to get the bullet to put his mask on the line. And you know what? That old redneck is cheaper than I thought. Now, I know these people would probably put it up for maybe a couple of food stamps and maybe a swig of cheap liquor. But Bullet Bob Armstrong, he was a little, shut up, he was a little bit more expensive than that. I said, I'll put up anything, Bullet Bob Armstrong. Just put that mask up. You know what he said? He came back, and I signed a contract. All I had to put up was $5,000, and Dick Murdoch is going to get that match against the Bullet for his mask. My $5,000 against the Bullet's mask. And you know that if that mask falls and it's revealed that the Bullet is really Bob Armstrong, like everybody knows that it is, then Bob Armstrong is going to be banned from Smoky Mountain Wrestling for the rest of his stinking natural life. And right now, before we go any further, I want you people to hear some comments from the big man himself. He sent them all the way in from Colorado, Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch. Take a listen to this.
All right. I hit pause first because I wanted to see, Harper, if you had something to say about what Cornette said first.
I mean, we got fucking Captain Redneck coming in, man. That's all I fucking know.
Well, he also said these idiots would put the mask up for some food stamps and cheap liquor.
Well, well, there is truth to that.
I used to see people trade food stamps back in the day, bro.
Used to.
Yeah. I mean, not like for anything like illegal, but it was like, you know, they didn't have no cash and they wanted a cigarette, so they.
I suck your dick for some stamps.
Your dick for a cheeseburger.
But like, would trade, like, this is back when food stamps were like paper, not the car.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, man, you got a cigarette? I ain't got no goddamn cigarette, man. These cigarettes expensive. Bro, I got a dollar food stamp on me. All right, well, here's your cigarette. I'm serious. I mean, just shit like that. But anyway, Doc, any thoughts on Corny here?
No, but do you want me to explain the scene with which we're about to incur? Like, you want me to set the scene here, the visuals?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right, so we're going to go to
even though they will be able to see it on the YouTube channel if they're watching, but
right,
go ahead.
Right, but this appears to be a balcony or a porch or something, and it's snowing profusely here.
It's coming down hard.
It's coming down. Murdoch is on the sitting out there in a chair, shirtless with jeans on and a ball cap on, with a bottle of beer in his hand. And then he's got what appears to be some sort of kidnapped Native American woman to his right, wrapped up in a blanket up to her chin. The picture you have up is worth 1,000 words. This is just, I'd like to know the night before that led to the thought process to say, let's go cut this way. Okay. Is that good?
What if he just was like, fuck it, I'm just going to record it like this. And when Jimmy gets it, he gets it.
I guarantee you that was a part of this.
Okay.
But here's the thing. As interesting as this is, the backstory of what's going on here in real life is far more interesting.
Yeah. Who's that woman?
And who's the other one that comes out?
Right. With the Coors Light.
Colorado having a threesome with two broads and having beer.
Well, I'm starting to think Harper and I are seeing why your mentor, Rod Price, said you would have never made it with Dickie Murdoch, pal.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. All right, let's hit play on this puppy.
Four. Curves Light, cold beer. What are you doing? We just killed this guy a couple weeks ago. We ate him. What are you doing with him on? Keep it warm. My God, it's hot out here. Let me tell you something. It's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. It's getting hotter and hotter because you see, time's ticking down. You see, we're having a beautiful, beautiful time here at the end of the Spanish Peaks in the southern foothills of Colorado. Bring them right over, honey. Bring them right over. It's just perfect out here, ain't it? Beautiful Texas ladies. Look at this. Look at this. They're flying out from Tennessee to watch us slaughter. You see, what makes Texas so great are things like the Alamo. You see, everybody goes to San Antonio, Texas to see the Alamo thinking that the Texans fought there. They didn't. It was 181 stupid, ignorant, gutless people from Tennessee. Because, see, if it had any brains, it ran when the Mexicans gave them the chance. But no, they got to stand there and get killed, all 181 of them. And then 2 weeks later, at the Battle of San Jacinto, the great General Sam Houston, he comes down, whoops all the Mexicans, and his credit and history goes to the Texans as normal. Well, let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. The history and the credit is going to go to the Texans again, because you see, Mama Cornette is paying me a lot of money to come out there and take that mask off and get you suspended for life. But you see, Armstrong, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to torture you. I'm going to break bones. I'm going to mangle you. I'm going to hurt you, Armstrong, because I want to see your ugly, scaggly, stinking wife sitting there at ringside over the holiday squalling like a banshee and crying and looking at all the snotty-nosed punk kids that you've raised and looking at them and say, Daddy, can we help you? Can he help you? You're going to say, no, just stay out here because this man is my master. This man flew all the way out here and he is doing this for an assassin. Because you see, Armstrong, remember Orlando, Florida years ago at the Orlando Sports Center when you and I wrestled and I ruined your career? Well, I'm going to ruin it again, Armstrong, right here in this stinking place of Tennessee. Because you see, Mama Cornette sent a limousine to pick us up. She's flying us first class. Champagne flying, baby. And when we get there, the beer's going to be flowing and it's going to be a pandemonium and mayhem. Because it's going to be like that big fat partner I used to have, Dusty Rhodes, said. It's going to get funky like a monkey in Knoxville, Tennessee, baby, over the holidays.
Okay, well, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Go ahead.
What were you thinking, Harper, when that second broad appeared? It's like, what the shit?
Yeah, what the fuck's going on here?
Right. I'm less interested in this angle than I am.
And that fucking Indian chick looks like...
She's in trouble.
Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yes.
When they got the Indian broad and he's fucking and he saves her from the guys that are going to rape her.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's her.
Right. She's in trouble right there.
Yeah.
In real life. She's in shoot trouble. That broad needs to blink a couple of times to let us know what's going on. So when you're a young person in Texas in eighth grade, you take your history class is Texas history. And that's his retelling of history is pretty close to what I got in eighth grade. I'm going to tell you right there. Murdoch knows what he's talking
about. Davy Crockett.
His Tennessee assholes.
That's why they're called the Volunteers, right? Because he volunteered to go there?
Whatever. So anyway, this is... You really owe it to yourself to watch this, because it's just bizarre. This is a really bizarre promo. Am I wrong?
Are they in Colorado?
They're somewhere where it's snowing.
Well, I mean, it's December, too. I mean, it could be technically snowing in many places in the country by that point, but I have no clue if they're in Colorado or if they're in Tennessee, and they're just putting that as part of the story. That's a Cornette question. There you go. Hashtag corny drive through, corny without an E, just corny drive through, and ask him if this was really shot in Colorado and ask him his thoughts on this. There you go. We'll give you a special shout-out on the show if you get the question on air. Right, Doc?
Sure.
Sad part is like Murdoch's dead in less than 3 years from this date, because he died.
That sucks.
He died actually, I think, on the day of us recording this of 1996.
Damn.
June 15th, 1996, I think is when he passed away. I could be wrong, but it seems to be ringing a bell. But yeah, just as this is, I don't know how absurd the dude. Here's the thing about this, and I want to get more from Harper. Murdoch in the snow in Colorado with a beer, I almost don't care what he said. Just the scene is enough for me. And then he starts yapping about the freaking champagne in a limo and in the plane, because Mama Cornette is going to freaking, you know, send a champagne a plane in a limo for him. Murdoch sipping champagne in a limo. What? I mean, I don't know if... that don't add up, but it's funny. It's comical, so I'm going with it. Harper, what else did you have from this that we haven't already talked about?
It's just that fucking woman sitting there. Is that his wife?
I don't know. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
And who's the other broad?
Well, what's McCall say? Blink twice. Who? Which one of y'all said that?
But Doc did. Blink it's almost like one of those like a compound. Like, stay off my lane, you government sons of bitches. I don't gotta pay taxes.
No shit.
That popped me. Yes, I think so. All right, Harper, anything else? Okay, so we'll keep going then, because after that, we get an announcement. Here it is.
All right, Jim, as you say, you signed that contract, $5,000 against the mask, and that's what it's going to be in all the other cities for Christmas chaos. But that's not the case in Knoxville, Jim.
What are you talking
about? It's something much more dearer to you than $5,000 in Knoxville. And if you don't believe me, just watch this. Let's hear from the Bullet, and you'll see.
Wait a minute. I don't want to hear from them.
You know, this is a special Christmas coming up for the Bullet. It's either put up or shut up for me. Jim Cornette has brought in Captain Redneck himself, Dick Murdoch. He's a big bad man from Texas. He's brought in Texas men before. I know about that stuff. But on Christmas night, right here in Knoxville, it ain't just money we're talking about, Cornette. You didn't mind signing the money contracts at all. It didn't bother you a bit. You can write a check, get that much cash money from your mama anytime. But besides the money on Christmas night, if I do beat Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch, not only have you got to give me $5,000, you, Jim Cornette, have got to shave your head right in the middle of the ring right here in Knoxville. What a Christmas! What a Christmas! Chaos! Oh, that ain't even the word for it, brother. Everybody will be excited because I intend to beat Murdoch. I'll find a way, shape, or form because I want to see your head bald. I want to be called the greatest scalp hunter in the history of the Great Smoky Mountains. I want to be compared with Daniel Boone. I want them to call me Geronimo, the man that shaved Jimmy Cornette's head on Christmas night, December 25, 1993.
Doc, come here.
All right. So, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Thoughts?
Man, Corny would not look good bald.
No, man.
Have you ever seen the Mid-South footage when they shaved his head?
No.
He put a mask on after that, but
yeah, it sucks. He has a full head of hair too.
Yep. Full head of hair. Harper, any other thoughts from you after this announcement from Bullet announcing that Cornette will have to shave his head if Bullet wins?
Well, you know, these people will fucking bite for this shit.
Yep. Oh, would they? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. The hook was set. Jesus, yeah. Lord. And here's the other thing. I'll throw this out there. This is December 11th of 93. How long has this Bullet shit been going on with the mask?
I know, huh? Fuck.
Just put that out there. They will. Old school wrestling will freaking.
And his son's moved on, huh?
Oh, they'll be back. You talking about Scott and Steve?
Yeah.
They come back, don't they, Doc? I remember them. So. Yeah. They come back. I forget when, but they'll be back. But this thing's been going on for a while. So, all right, any other, Doc, you got thoughts from this before I go to the next segment?
No.
All right, so let's go to the next segment. Here it is.
Dutch?
What?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about, Toddle? He says it's my hair. It's my hair on the line in Christmas night against the Bullet's mask.
What's it's a shot up.
My hair? Do you mean to tell me that if the Bullet beats Dick Murdoch Christmas night in Knoxville, they're going to shave
That's
my
right.
head?
That's right. The hair comes off.
Jim, you better look at that a little closer.
Dutch, you got a lawyer, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You got a lawyer? You got one in town?
Yeah.
They can't do that. Hey, shut up. How would you like me to be bald? Oh, they can't do that.
That's what it says, fans. That's the way it's going to be. That's what it's going to be in Knoxville at Christmas Chaos, and we'll be back.
Bob, wrestling fan.
I thought that was a great response from Corny because he fed him. He fed him. He knew what he was doing.
And they responded perfectly.
It was a perfect serve. It was perfect. Yeah. He knew what they were going to do, and he threw it out there, and they bit on it, and that was great. That was great. Harper, anything else from that?
That was great.
Yeah, man. Doc, you.
He knew what to do and he did it. Mm-hmm.
Bruh,
he was almost choreographed. Like
it was
like they were all in on it.
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll keep going. So Doc, do you want to summarize that whole thing there real quick or just kind of what's going down? Basically, Corny Bullet wins, Cornette loses all his hair.
Yeah, and if Dick Murdoch unmasks or beats him and unmasks him, he's got to leave.
There you go. So there it is. I'm playing this local promo because it's Darryl Van Horn. I'm sure y'all are good with that. Here it is.
I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But negotiating to appear in Beckley is Darryl Van Horn to bring in Prince Karras.
That's right. The people in the Smoky Mountain wrestling area have already gotten a look at Prince Karras. They know what he's all about. And they should be used to seeing a 3,000-year-old man because all of the men and women there look that old because they're all dying from black lung because they spend their lives working in those coal mines. And a lot of people are saying, what is he going to do in the Smoky Mountain wrestling area? Well, just get something through your head. You're never going to hear him speak, but he sort of talks in international language, one anybody can understand, and it's called pain. And it works like this. It's sort of like when you have a little puppy and he's missed the newspaper and he's hit the floor. You can get in the mutt's face all day long and say bad dog, but it doesn't register. But if you take that mutt by his hind legs and crack his head up against the concrete wall or kick him in the ribs one time, it's going to register what's happened. And that's what everybody in the Smoky Mountain wrestling area has to look forward to, a housebreaking at the hands of Prince Karras.
Beckley, West Virginia, we're telling you about it. Smoky Mountain title, the Dirty White Boy with the Dirty White Girl against Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch.
You know, the Dirty White Girl is coming around day after day after day after day saying, I'm going to whoop you, Tammy. I mean, please, she hasn't got her hands on me yet. What makes her think she can do the job? And White Boy, you still don't have a chance with Brian.
White Boy, I tell you what, you're awful good at standing up here holding a chain and standing beside that two-lit slut hussy you stand beside saying what she's going to do to my manager, Tammy Fitch. Damn. She's going to do the same thing to her as you're going to do to me. Nothing. Zero. Walk in the ring and walk out with your head busted open, boy. I'm going to tell you what, when you step in the ring with Primetime Brian Lee, you're going down 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Darryl Van Horn was awesome right there. They should be used to seeing 3,000-year-old men because the people here look like that from the black lung. Then he talks about abusing a dog. But, Harper, any thoughts?
Yeah, the whole fucking black lung thing. I mean, they could really connect with that shit, huh?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was spot on. Doc, you?
I thought he was working stiff talking about cracking open dogs.
That was a little rough.
Well, don't be shitting on the floor then.
That's a good point.
Okay. Doc, any other thoughts before we keep going?
I liked Van Horn better when we didn't have the mummy in the way.
Ah, agree. God, I agree. You're so right. So, shit. All right. Well, we will keep going. We got a matchup. It is Smoky Mountain Wrestling Champion Primetime Brian Lee versus Chris Kanyon. Primetime Brian Lee wins with a knee drop off the top rope. He hasn't used the cancellation in a while. It was a note that I had. Doc, do you have anything else?
In there, Bob told Dutch that they're so far in the hills that any woman looks good at this point.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
They got lost in the hills because they don't have a fucking map. Yeah. They can't get out.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. Next up, we got Corny and Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, but they're interrupted by Mike Furniss. Let's give this a play and see what's going down.
With Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, fans, and here they are with us right now, the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies. They've got the gold right around the waist.
And I want to bring things back.
Jiggle for me, Jimmy.
I'm going to appeal and I'm going to investigate this hair thing.
Look at him.
Bullet has obviously gone to all the commissioners, all the board of directors that he's so buddy-buddy with and got put in that contract. The contract I got in the mail didn't have any stipulations like that.
The appeal is going to fail.
But let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
Christmas Chaos, the homecoming match. Mike and Doug Furniss going up against the Heavenly Bodies. Hey, you know, Mike Furniss, he's so upset because of what we did to him. He's called his brother all the way in from Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo.
Well, I got news for you. You got a rude surprise coming up. happen. You know, everywhere I go in East Tennessee, I see the color orange.
The popcorn
color.
Yeah, and the color orange has always been a putrid color, in my opinion. You see orange on banners, you see orange on pennants, you see orange on people, you see orange hanging off cars, orange everywhere. Well, I don't think that the color orange adequately reflects the color of the University of Tennessee. I don't think the color orange adequately reflects the University of Tennessee volunteer football players. I don't think the color orange adequately reflects Doug and Mike Furness. So what we got here, let me say it a second, Jimmy. We went out and bought this. It was on sale, by the way, because it's so cheap and nobody wants to wear the stinking thing. This is orange, and this is not accurate when it comes to depicting Furness and the Volunteers and the whole stinking school, the University of Tennessee. So I tell you what, Bob, you need to back up a little bit. I don't want to get that Kmart suit dirty.
What are you doing, guy?
Hold on. Let me just. I'm going to alter this. Now turn it around, boys. I want to get a good shot.
Okay.
I'm going to alter this so that everybody realizes this is the true color of the University of Tennessee.
He's got a can of spray paint. What the heck is he spray?
Bro, you can't even see the paint on it.
A yellow streak. Oh no! Come on. No.
They're yellow. They're stinking yellow. The football team, the whole stinking school, and especially Doug and Mike Furness are stinking yellow. And Mike Furness, I hope you're watching this, and I hope you tell your stinking brother.
Wait, here he comes with a football helmet swinging that thing wildly, and they take off. The heavenly bodies and Jim Cornette.
You're right.
Oh, boy, Mike.
The bodies. I'm watching it, and I'm coming to Christmas Chaos, and I'm bringing this for you, Jim Cornette.
Jesus.
And I'm also
Christ.
Bringing my brother, Doug Furness. He's going to be in my corner, and let's hear what he's got to say about it.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Yeah. He looks like he's... Yeah. Okay.
I had one drink, officer.
That's exactly how he looks right there, Hopper. I ain't drunk. I just had a little bit too much to drink, officer.
She hit me first.
She put a hand on me, officer. I didn't touch the bitch. Hopper, any thoughts on all of that?
Well, the whole fucking Asian thing was just like, man.
God damn.
If fuck y'all.
Yeah. If this is on a network, that's so not on there.
Did y'all see what he did?
Yeah.
What did he do, Doc?
What do you mean, what did he do?
What did he do? He said they were calling and he did the whole phone calling Asia.
Yes.
Oh, y'all. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, and with the sweatshirt, man, they should have got a gray one.
Yeah.
They should just got your standard gray sweatshirt, you know, with the Tennessee on, like you get a fucking Walmart or something.
Yeah, the logo on it. And,
yeah.
And then it, you know, it said Tennessee. I think he was trying to show, like, the color orange because, right. You know, the whole thing.
Okay, so do you trust Mike Furness coming out swinging a football helmet at people?
I don't trust him doing a goddamn thing.
You think if you put a gun to his head and said yell, could he yell?
No.
Let me tell you what got me here more than anything. When he came out swinging that Tennessee helmet, there was no reaction.
Yeah.
From the crowd, but they're in Jefferson, North Carolina.
Yeah. So I was thinking the same thing.
I'm like. On the map, I looked it up, and on the map, Knoxville looks close. I mean, close enough, but Chapel Hill ain't that far away either. Unless, I don't know. Like, I was like, maybe they're just in a place where these people are, like, not really UT fans, and they're fans of North Carolina or maybe NC State or... I don't know. It just was really weird because he came out and you'd expect, like, if they were in Tennessee somewhere, I got to believe, even though it's Furness, Mike Furness, he comes out swinging that helmet at those bastards. They're going to pop. That crowd had no reaction. So I don't know. What did you think about that, Hopper?
They didn't respond to him.
Not at all.
They probably thought he was a fucking fan.
Doc, what did you have from that?
That's what I had from that. I've already said what I had from that. He's not interesting in the least.
I mean, but, dude, this is worse. This is worse than fucking Petrov.
Petrov, Vladimir Petrov, people who don't listen to the NWA show.
I mean, this is just... I mean, this says no.
This is some mud show. This is some mud show bullshit.
Yeah, it is, dude. This sucks.
Okay. Well, let's go to his brother now, because now his brother's going to cut a promo.
My brother called me about 4 months ago, said he was moving back from Europe on a finished college, and thought he would stay there in Knoxville. While during that time, people from Smoky Mountain knew that he had played 8 years of professional football in Europe, knew that he was a great athlete, he set college world records and lifted. So they gave him a call, wanted to know if he'd be interested in moving into professional wrestling. He called me, we talked about it. I told him I thought it would be great that one day he and I'd be able to be in the ring together, just like old times, just like when he was in the field. Well, what I didn't know was, during one of his first interviews, the Cornette and a couple of his bums were going to come out and jump him. Well, let me tell you something, Cornette. Well, I know what it's like to have a partner. I've got a great partner in Japan. Pritchard, the difference between having a partner and having a brother is almost. You'll almost do anything in the world for your partner. But for your brother, he almost disappears. We got you both coming up in Christmas Chaos, and I guarantee you, there's not a tougher guy in Knoxville than the guy that's going to be standing in my corner. Cornette, I just pray you get in there and get in our way. Because if you do, Christmas Chaos is going to be all over you.
That promo might have been a lot better had he had a mic on him and you didn't just kind of hear everything else going on around. But I don't know, Doc, what did you have from Doug Furness right there? Rest in peace, Doug Furness.
Why do you always have to do that? People die. You're grandstanding, dude.
Okay. Just paying respect to the man because we're doing a podcast where he appeared.
Adolf Hitler, RIP.
No, fuck him. He ain't getting RIP.
Okay.
Fuck him. Know.
Doug Furness was good there, and I can't tell if it was because he was decent or if it was because he's the talented one in the family.
Well, when you're following what we just saw, I mean, it ain't rocket science. Ain't that fucking hard, guys? I mean, ain't building a rocket. He was much better than his brother for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
come on,
fuck.
But anyway, Hopper, anything from you?
Yeah, it's just it's just so much better than his shitty ass brother.
Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. He's right. But we'll keep going.
It seems like they filmed it in a hotel lobby with the little GE camcorder. They're like, okay.
Oh, yeah. It definitely was. They needed a microphone. That's all I'm saying. It probably would have been a lot better if you could actually hear him and not hear every noise going on around him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep going. We go back to the building, and we got Michael Collins and Rock Regal, who I think it's his first appearance.
Both guys.
Both guys, right.
But Rock Regal looks like a come here, boy.
What?
What the looks hell like does that mean?
He looks like some guy you would see like on a Chippendale calendar from back in the day.
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Whoa, Doc doesn't know. No.
Yeah, you know how Harper. You know how he is, bro. He just. That's what he does. He plays stupid on things that he knows things about. It's how it is. But anyway, real quick recap on this. Moondogs beat the hell out of these guys. Regal and Collins. Moondogs actually lose because they get disqualified. It's a beatdown. After the match, they throw us to the Bruise Brothers against the Heavenly Bodies in one of the Thanksgiving Thunder matches. Bruise Brothers won the match, but at the end, the Moondogs hit the ring like we talked about. It's basically what we saw last week, but a different location. I did have one soundbite that I wanted to play. We are a politics-free zone, as many of you all know around here. However, I have to play this soundbite from Dutch and Bob on commentary, because Dutch Mantel popped me. Here it is.
cheek for good measure. But look at a Moondog. Dutch, these guys aren't wrestlers. They ought to be in some dark alley somewhere.
Oh, Bob, come on.
Facing some guys that have got guns or knives and that kind of thing.
What are you, some kind of liberal or something? You want to look at these guys where they can go now? No, they are professional wrestlers come in at the request and behest of the greatest manager in professional wrestling.
I love the fact that Dutch was like, what are you, some kind of liberal, Bob? After, you know, Doc's told the story of Jesse Helms with Bob Cottle and all that good stuff. But anyway, Doc, any thoughts from this match? I'm with you. The Moondogs are just, they ain't doing it for me in this promotion.
No, if you're going to the Bruises versus the Heavenly Bodies, Del Rey was in there moonsaulting everybody.
Yeah, he was busting some ass, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That was I guess I could say that was a nice little recap that we saw from them on that. But when we say the Bruises versus Heavenly Bodies, this is from where the hell is this building at? Oh God, it's on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, this was not from the same match last week. Anyway, Doc, any other thoughts from what we saw, anything right here?
No.
Harper, you? Bruise Brothers are up next in a promo. I'm not playing it. I cannot digest what they're saying because all they do is scream, and I just want to know what Harper thinks.
They're a bunch of big screamers.
Dude.
I mean, that's their thing.
Do they shut up? Doc, I'm not playing it. Your thoughts on it?
No. The one thing that got me was that one Bruise Brother hit the other Bruise Brother in the head with that board, and it split just like it did when they hit Del Rey. So they gave up the fact that it was gimmicked.
Was treated. That's true. Which kind of sucked. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
We go to Down and Dirty with Dutch. First up is Tim Horner. He's in a neck brace, and then it'll be followed by Van Horn. Let's give it a listen. Here it is.
Everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Walter Cronkite, and that's the way it is. Before I talk to my special guest, let's hear some pre-taped comments from Tim Horner, who is injured, as you should know by now. Watch this, and we'll be right back with my special guest.
You know, Van Horn, I don't know what kind of sick stunt you're trying to pull when you brought this Egyptian man or mummy or whoever it was you brought in. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he is, but I do know one thing. He was a strong man, and I don't know what he had in his arm when he hit me from behind when you, Van Horn, grabbed my leg from the outside, but it crossed my running lights. Now, a few people know this and a few people don't, but I'm going to tell you. A few years ago, I was seriously injured in Atlanta, Georgia. I got dropped on my head, and the doctors told me that if I ever received a strong blow to the neck, to my lower neck again, I could be permanently paralyzed. Well, I'm not permanently paralyzed because I'm standing here, but I did have some numbness in my hands and down my arms. So at this point, I don't know what exactly I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to be out for a few months. But I will tell you this, one way or another, payback is going to come your way, Van Horn. And I would like to say one thing to the Dirty White Boy. We've not always seen eye to eye on a lot of things. You've done a lot of things to me, and I've done them back to you. But it took a big man to do what you had to do when you come out. And for that, I'd like to thank you. Van Horn, you're mine one of these days.
That's nice, right?
What a class act.
Yeah, classy guy.
You and your damn neck brace.
And a screen printing shirt from one of the 10 places in Morristown that does screen printing.
Yeah, and I was wondering if they paid him to wear that fucking shirt.
Probably.
What a bunch of losers.
Wow, that's nice, Harper. Okay, any other thoughts on old Timmy there, Harper?
No. The whole thing I was wondering is if someone fucking paid him to wear that goddamn shirt.
Doc, is this the last we see from Tim Horner for a while?
I don't remember.
Me either. I thought Tim was good here. He's got an injury. He didn't stumble through anything. He said he would be back when healed. Now, don't hold your breath on his return because I'm really not sure. I don't know if he comes back. I know he comes back under that mask gimmick. We won't give that away yet, but yeah, well, there you go.
It sounds like he just did.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like you gave it away.
I didn't say what mask gimmick. I just said
mask gimmick. Well, right.
Yeah. Anything else you want to criticize me about, Mr. Harper? I mean, you know, you and Doc are just, y'all are amping it up today. It's,
you are terrible at podcasting.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin it for y'all, but yeah, he comes back wearing a mask.
That is kind of true. I kind of fucked up. All right. Oh, boy. Next up, we got Darrell Van Horn on Down and Dirty. Here it is.
Okay, you heard the comments. Joining me right now on Down and Dirty with Dust, the most popular segment on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the man who controls Prince Karras, none other. Let's give a big hand right now to Darrell Van Horn. Now, Mr. Horn, I want to welcome you for being with me today, but I want to ask you one question. Is Prince Karras a 3,000-year-old Egyptian prince? Ask Tim Horner what Prince Karras is. If you want to know, ask Horner. Ask Horner how it felt to fall at the hands of Prince Karras at Thanksgiving Thunder. He didn't believe. He wanted to get behind all of this hillbilly swill and go in the ring and prove something. Now look at him. He's going to be serving popcorn over there in the vending stands for the rest of his life. And we would have finished Tim Horner off completely had it not been for the interference of that other piece of Tennessee trash, the dirty white boy. Well, white boy, you've angered the gods. The curse of the pharaohs will rain down upon you and that walking yeast infection you call the dirty white girl.
Wow.
But only when we decide. And I understand, Dutch, that Bobby Blaze wants to now get a little measure of vengeance.
No, Bobby.
For his redneck friend Tim Horner. Well, Bobby Blaze, you're from Kentucky. If you're from Kentucky, that means you're coal mining trash, the kind of low-life scumbag that would hammer the teeth out of a house cat and then smear his body with tuna. I hate you, Bobby Blaze. I hate all these Smoky Mountain rednecks. And Prince Karras will be sending a message out to all the trash out here when you make the mistake of getting in the ring with him at Christmas Chaos. Next week, I'm going to reveal exactly how I found Prince Karras. But until then, Dutch, I want to leave you with these words of wisdom.
Jesus Christ.
There you heard it, fans. Very controversial words. Well, a very controversial man, and I should say I agree with everything you say. Don't go away. We'll be back in 120 seconds.
Speaking of tongues again, Doc, thoughts?
Walking yeast infection was pretty stiff.
Damn, no, that's a shot, ain't it?
Oh, man. They didn't like him speaking Egyptian either.
Harper?
That's that Muslim talk.
Yeah, that's that terrorist talk.
Yeah.
Harper, what did you have?
Dude, the fucking yeast infection thing? Come on. That's nice. That's that man's wife.
So what?
Dude. I'm not saying it's just because he's reached out to us on the Facebook page. I'm saying it because it's true. Dude, the mummy is the shit, but James Mitchell as Darrell Van Horn is a legend that people need to know more about. Because this dude is, it's just an incredible, he's like a speed train, man, that just is on those tracks and ain't nothing going to stop him. And he's a force. You better hop on or you're going to get freaking swiped and nailed. He told that man that his woman was a walking yeast infection. Come on, bro. That's great.
Well, here's the thing. A yeast infection is actually a living organism. So if you have sex with a broad that's got a yeast infection, is that considered a threesome?
God!
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Asking for a friend?
Yeah.
Harper, do you have something you want to tell us?
No.
I mean,
did you go down to munch on a box one time and a loaf of bread popped out?
What's this bunny bread here? Just keep going. I'm close.
Okay. All right. Well, moving right along, Harper. Thanks for educating us on that threesome that you've been involved in with a yeast infection abroad yourself.
Allegedly.
Okay. Prime time, Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch come out. And, well, Tammy's also got something to say about the dirty white girl. So here that is.
Right now, here's our Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, Primetime Brian Lee, Miss Tammy Fitch, Christmas Chaos. They've got a date in a triple threat match with
Tracy Smothers, the Dirty White Boy, Primetime Brian Lee. Let me give you the rules for that match. All three men are going to be in the ring at the same time. It'll be elimination by pinfall only, and the last man in the ring is the champion. What about it, Ms.
You know,
Fitch?
This is so unfair, it makes me nauseous. Brian is just starting to get comfortable being the champion, having the title, wearing that belt around his waist, and now he's got to go in the ring with not one, but two idiots. Tracy Smothers, who couldn't get the job done before, who says he deserves another title match now, and the Dirty White Boy, in my opinion, never deserved the title match to begin with. He should be an opening match in wherever the hell we are. But you know, the worst part about it, not only does Brian have to look across the ring at them, I have to look across the ring at the biggest sewer rat I've ever seen and hope she doesn't give me rabies.
Wow.
Can we go on vacation that week instead?
We might just do that, baby, but I'll tell you what, Bob Cottle, it's the test of all tests for Primetime Brian Lee. See, it comes down to this. The bottom line is Tracy Smothers and Dirty White Boy Bumpkins, just like all you bumpkins out TV land. They couldn't take out Primetime. You know, it's just like my teacher back in high school when she'd give me a pop quiz on Thursday and run the big test on me Friday. What I do, I cheated. So I tell you what, when I step in the ring with you two punks, I'm going to do something that's never been done before. Not only am I going to beat two men in the same night, but I'm going to beat them in the same match, Bob Cottle, and that's Primetime.
All right, Christmas Chaos fans, and a triple threat match. What a match it's going to be. All right, we're ready for action. Let's go back to the ring.
All right, Doc, what you got?
Sonny looked good in those black and white stripes, pal.
Yeah, you think so?
You like the ref look?
Yeah. I'd like her to blow my whistle.
Sportsmanlike conduct.
Blow your whistle, huh? You wanted to wet your whistle too?
I'll do that for her.
Oh, okay. All right. What else you got, Doc, from that?
No, they're not happy. Triple threat matches suck.
Tammy doesn't want to get rabies from the Dirty White Girl. What do you got, Harper?
I mean, she has a yeast infection and rabies.
Jesus Christ, honey.
What a mess. Fuck.
I know. What a mess, huh?
That's fucked up, isn't it?
God.
I mean,
what's
come
wrong
on,
with
bro.
That white boy?
Come on, man. How much worse does this stuff have to get, dude? This is pathetic. Anyway. All right. Well, we will keep going because next up is Tracy Smothers versus Jimmy Del Rey for the Beat the Champ TV title. People going nuts for Smothers as he comes in and makes his entrance. I mean, he's over, ain't he?
I'm telling you, when he comes out and he gives the flag to that guy or kid, whatever, and he's waving it. There's a black guy right next to him, just cheering away.
We've had a sighting.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I'm.
He needs to blink at us just like that Native American girl with Murdoch.
Yeah.
He's like,
if they're making
black guys
you,
like Bigfoot.
If they're making you pick cotton, blink twice.
Wow. That's nice, Doc. Come on now. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see if I can get it queued up to the spot where it happens. Okay, he came out.
Here
he's got the flag now.
Oh, wait. Okay, let's see. There's a shithead waving a flag. Okay, he's got to keep going.
Oh, there's a guy. There he is.
You see him? Yeah!
He's cheering!
What an uncle.
He's cheering! Damn! He's cheering! Okay, alright, great. Let's go to the match, though. Doc, what did you have as far as thoughts from the match?
I thought this was a really good match with no specific notes, but Smothers is your new Beat the Champ.
Yeah, match gets midway through or so, and Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy come out. Then Dirty White Girl and Dirty White Boy come out. No one is involved at that point yet, but Cornette does try to get involved. Smothers knocks Corny down. Thanks to Dirty White Girl and Dirty White Boy making sure no one else gets involved, Smothers hits the jawjacker on Del Rey, and Smothers becomes a new Beat the Champ TV title champion. Harper, did you have anything from it?
He still ain't shaking his hand.
Mm-mm.
No, hell no. He's not going to. Yep. You can't blame him. I mean, he's pissed at him. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's real. All right. Any other thoughts from that match, Doc? Did you want to play the local?
Nope.
Okay. Dirty White Girl.
He looks better since he got rid of that fucking mullet, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Harper's talking about Brian Matthews. He chopped the mullet off. So
he must have had a job interview or something.
Maybe, but that mullet's gone because that mullet was long and
God,
it was like fluffed out and shit. Yeah, it was pretty damn bad. I will say this: Dirty White Girl did pop me when she called Tammy a flat-out slut. I'm sure.
Oh God, yeah, like she's just like, I'm just gonna just straight up, you're a fucking slut, bitch. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. She just was like, you can, yeah, you're a slut. All right, I do have to play this. We have an ad right now, not an ad, paid advertising for us, but on the show there was a Best Western Eldridge Inn. Here it is.
If your friends or business associates need a place to stay, reserve them a room in Jefferson at the Best Western Eldridge Inn. All rooms are climate controlled and have telephone and color TVs. And dining at Ashley's Restaurant. Best Western Eldridge Inn and Ashley's Restaurant. The comforts of home and great home cooking. Telephone 919-246-8845.
What kind of rating do you think that place had, Doc?
It's now a Days Inn, and it had like a fair enough rating. Hey, man, you get a color TV.
No color, fucking right.
Color TV and climate-controlled room.
AKA what else do you want? Air condition.
I mean, that's just an assumption nowadays when you book a hotel, right, that you're going to get some, you know, a climate-controlled room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually had to point it out. So what does that
tell
you
about?
Does
it have four walls and a roof, too?
I mean, yeah. All right. But it did get a good rating. Doc is right. But with that said, how many rat bastard kids were developed there?
That's nice.
A lot.
Conceived. Yeah, that's what I thought. No jizz on the sheets, though? Like the...
Yeah, right.
Probably on the lampshade.
Oh, lampshade. Pew! Shot one off. Or what did you say on the NWA show? Any cosmic fireballs fired away?
Yeah, it's when if you don't listen to that show, it's when you shooting a load in your girl's face and you throw a fireball at her at the
right nice. When you're nut, you're like, don't move. What? Boom!
The fireball and the first rope should reach at the same time.
Harper, how hard is that to coordinate, though?
Concentration.
Like right before you're about to just
right
blow
before
one.
You fucking nut, you just foom lighter right through a writer fucking face, and she goes, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And then you go, "Fucking bitch," and then you just walk out.
But you gotta pull it out at the same time.
She's laying there, burned and jizzed on, waiting for you to come back and apologize.
and then the car dries off.
She hears your car drive off.
But dude, how hard
was that? Did you hear me? I said book it, bitch.
How hard is it to coordinate lighting that flash paper and tossing it at her while at the same time, you know, trying to pull that mad dog out of there and shoot a rope? I mean, it can't be easy, dude. Uh-huh. Harper's over there laughing. I need somebody to rank this segment up there with our other great segments as we talk about the hotels and motels in the Great Smoky Mountains. All right, well, the last thing we do in this episode is the Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl cut a promo interrupted by Tracy Smother. So let's go to that right now.
All right, fans, right now here they are, the Dirty White Boy, Dirty White Girl. What'd you two come out for? To sort of even things up?
I didn't come out to even anything up. What I came out for is I cannot stand primetime Brian Lee and that little tramp that he carries around with. I can't stand her either. So the reason I came out is you're not going to get over anybody anytime because I'm setting a goal in my life, and that's to make your life a living hell with all my power. And Christmas Chaos is coming up. Triple threat match. Three men in the ring after one thing, and that one thing is the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. Primetime Brian Lee, Tracy Smothers, and the Dirty White Boy. And no matter what it takes.
All right, and here's Smothers. It's Tracy.
White Boy, a couple of weeks ago, you come out and help me. Tonight, you come out to try to help me again. I told you before, I don't want your help. I don't need your help. And I don't want to owe you for nothing. Because come Christmas Chaos, and the triple threat. We're going after the same thing, the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. And I intend to do what I have to do to be the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion for a third time.
All right, white
well,
boy.
That's fine and dandy. I don't want you to owe me nothing. Not one thing. Because come Christmas chaos, what it's going to boil down to is three men walking in that ring. And the dirty white boy, along with the dirty white girl, will walk out the new Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion.
Triple threat match, fans. That's Christmas chaos. What an event that's going to be. Hey, next week we'll have another.
All right, so I thought that was a pretty good promo to wrap things up. But, Harper, what did you have from it?
Yeah, fuck, he's still in shaking his hand, bro. I don't need your fucking help. I don't want your help.
Yeah. What else you got?
That's fine. I mean, he's just... He still hasn't forgotten him.
It's a great question by Cottle when he asked Smothers, why did you come out to even things up? And Dirty White Boy, no, I just wanted to make sure, you know, Primetime's life was hell. And then he turns his attention to the Smoky Mountain title. Smothers interrupts and says he didn't want his help. And like I mentioned last week when we were talking about this, I understand why he won't forgive him. You know, he screwed him over. So,
yep.
Doc, your thoughts?
And mix in all of this, now we got a title match. And I don't like these triple threats, but this is for the title, yo.
It's good stuff, man.
Yep.
They're telling a good story, even though we don't like triple threats, agree. But
yeah.
The story is being told, and that's the important thing here. So, all right, well, we do need to give out some disability checks before we do so. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts would be appreciated, so please do so. We definitely appreciate that. And check out our Amazon referral link, and please use it whenever you purchase things from Amazon. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Go buy Bobby Blaze's book, among many other things you can get from Amazon. Give it to your wives and girlfriends, not the book, but the referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Doc, you went first last week, and I think you gave it a 7.3, was it?
Yes.
All right, this is going to get better than the 7.3. I'm probably letting Dick Murdoch and that whole exchange at the beginning of the show help me rate this higher than I could. And I'm also probably allowing me to enjoy Courtney and Jimmy Del Rey a little bit too much. But I'm going to go 8.5 on this one.
God.
What? I mean, is that what are you gotten? What is it? What are you giving it?
Pronouns, pal.
What are you giving it?
Who?
You, Doc. You.
Me. Okay. Well, then.
Hopper always goes last. He likes to hear what we do before he decides to rank his. Let's break kayfabe for a second. Hopper never has his shit written down. He always wants.
Down right here. I gave it the solid 8.
Okay, well, that's a first. Doc?
I'm more in the Harper camp. I'm going to give it a 7.7.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck's wrong with you? Even with Dick Murdoch on it?
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. I'm perfectly fine, motherfucker.
God, you are an asshole.
Well, I guess I am, huh? What are you going to do about it?
Fuck, that's ridiculous, man.
Hmm.
I thought you liked the whole Dick Murdoch thing.
I do. Too much Moondogs. It's really ruining my buzz.
Okay, well, I can't say I disagree with you on
that. And the Bruise Brothers aren't doing much for me either.
Dude, you want to talk about something worse? And they are... Dude, those dudes are doing nothing for me.
Yeah.
The only time they mildly did something for me is when Corny had them. Because he could talk for them. Not if they're on their own yelling every week. I'm just like, fast forward.
So there you go, 8.5 for that. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I got a nice promo at the end from Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl. I got some gold from Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch, who said that the Dirty White Girl had rabies. We had Daryl Van Horn out there cutting some good audio.
Okay.
We had Dick Murdoch. Do I need to keep going?
Agree to disagree.
Okay, well, you're just an asshole, of course. Yeah. And since Doc is an asshole, please use the the BTT patron link and become a patron and get access to our patron-only content. It's tinyurl.com/BTT patron. Greatly would appreciate it. Get access to all the patron-only content. Okay, so I went first on disability checks. Who are you giving your government cheese award to, Doc? Let me go ahead and pencil that in because I know you got Murdoch for it.
Yeah. Murdoch, pal.
Yeah.
All right. Hopper's got Murdoch, too. Clean sweep on that one, which is the reason why I ranked mine so high. I mean, Dick Murdoch was out there. Goddamn, pal. All right, Doc, what else you got before we get out of here?
Man, can we just go? I'm tired of your attitude.
Yeah. Hang up. Nobody don't needs fuck. You. Whatever. Don't hang up. Doc, we need to sell some more of your shirts because, like, we've sold, like,
one. I don't want any shirts. I'm a fucking heel, remember? So we shouldn't have merchandise. Take them off the market. I don't care. Fuck you.
Okay. Go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. The easiest way to get there is going to Facebook.com/BookingTheTerritory. Click shop now. It will take you to the Pro Wrestling Tees store where you can get Harper's shirt. You can also get Doc's shirt, Harper's other shirt, Living the Dream, brother, from T Public. The link is in the show notes, so make sure you check it out. Shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. ROH is Brian Malone. It's Mike Crockett doing everything every single Monday. Just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, and you can get their show. And then also shout out to Joe Morata, Michael Quinn from Our Vantage Point, OVP Pod. Check them out as well. Mondays as well, they do their thing. So just search Our Vantage Point, and you should be able to find them wherever you get your podcast from. Real quick shout out Hall of Fame patrons: Merciless Jones, Disrespectfully Classy, Mark E. Blassie, Spyboard Sports Cap, JMM7530, DR1851, Rube1452, Frog Zeppelin, Philip Allen, R. Smith 9000, 945 Sports Beat, aka Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, MPRU83, Alice, R.E. Miller 39, Justin _ Andretti, J Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91, US, USC 49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, T Hog 94, SV Padre, Martin Howell 71, Tim Oreci, Coleman 82, Gob Old Unreal, Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Your support is greatly appreciated. Harper, Doc ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. I'm tired and tuckered out, and I know you are too. You got work to do, and you got shit to do today, which does not include going to church. Hit the tagline and take us home.
Fuck it, bitch.